If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Exodus chapter 33. I'll read from verse 18 down to verse 23. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 down to 23. We are thinking in our study in the doctrine of God, and we're coming tonight to the goodness of God. And I pray that as we think of this tonight, we will rejoice in the goodness of our God, how good our God is to us. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is before the Lord in prayer. And it is his second prayer in verse 18 that God answers really from verses 19 through to 23. Moses' prayer is in verse 18. "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." The Lord answers Moses. And by answering Moses, that takes really our study tonight as we think of the doctrine of God, the nature of God. The Lord answered Moses in verse 19, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." And so what follows next really is the goodness of God to show forth his glory. And there is that connection. The Lord is saying to Moses, "My glory is my goodness, and I will show you my glory." The Lord said to Moses, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." The goodness of God is one of his moral attributes, the others being his holiness, his righteousness, and his love. And therefore, God is perfect in goodness. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, "There is none good but one, that is God." And so the reference there really, if you think to the persons of the Godhead, God the Father is good, God the Son is good, and God the Holy Spirit is good. We find that really, God the Father is good in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 18. God the Son is good, John chapter 10, verse 11. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20 reveals the Holy Spirit is good. And so the characteristic, the attribute, or the quality of goodness is what is termed as a communicable attribute of God. That means God communicates this attribute to men, but in a limited manner. In other words, man, we are not eternally, infinitely, and unchangeably good. Therefore, any goodness that any one of us displays toward our fellow man, whether helping someone or doing different things from someone, really comes from the goodness and the grace of God. Because God is good, and man is made in the image of God. But through man's own sin, that goodness was corrupted. Man may seek to do good to others, to give help, but he does so with prideful intentions. He helps others to elevate himself. He helps others or does good to earn a place in heaven. And so man misuses the goodness of God for his own advantage and his own gain. However, when it comes to God's goodness in salvation, that is not a natural quality, but it is a spiritual quality. It is the gift of God. We learn in Luke chapter 23, verse 50, of a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He was a good man and just. And so the basis of his goodness was that he was justified by God. He was forgiven of his sin. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And so as we think tonight briefly of the goodness of God, notice some simple thoughts. Three in particular. First of all, there is the essence of God's goodness. The essence or nature of God's goodness is that God is essentially good. God did not inherit or derive or take his goodness from someone else. Rather, God is good in and of himself. His very being, his very nature is that of goodness. Again, Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. And so God is absolutely, perfectly, and totally good. There's no imperfection in God. When God created the world and all therein, we learn in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And so all that God created was good. Why is that? Because goodness comes from God. And God cannot create that which is against his own nature. Therefore, God is good, and all he made was good. The goodness of God is connected then, as we read this passage, really to the proclamation of his name. We read in verse 17, the Lord said on to Moses. And then verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And so the name, the title of God, declares who God is. And because God is good, his name is good. And we can trace that in every really thought or point that we have covered. Because God is eternal, his name is eternal. We're looking tonight at the goodness of God. And so because God is good, his name is good. Notice three simple thoughts under this first point. The essence of God's goodness. God's goodness is unending. God's goodness is as himself, eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. In verse 19 we read that name, Lord. It is the name Jehovah. It is that most sacred name, how God revealed himself. Remember Exodus chapter 3 verse 13. Moses asked God, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And the Lord, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And that expression, I am that I am, is really the name Jehovah. It's God revealing himself as the great I am, the self-existent and self-sufficient God, one who has life of himself and in himself, one who depends upon none other. And so God's goodness is everlasting. There has never been a time, and there will never be a time, when God is not good. You see, if God was not good, then he would not be God. But the Bible says, and remember, the Bible is God's own word. It's how God has revealed himself. So what has God revealed of himself in his own word? Psalm 52, verse 1, the goodness of God endureth continually. So God's goodness is unending. Notice God's goodness is unlimited. Because as we think of that name, Jehovah, it signifies one who is not restricted, one who is unlimited, one who is unbounded. Again, Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. we read of the phrase the Lord God, or Jehovah El. And the word El is the Mighty One. And so he is Jehovah the Mighty One, Jehovah the Mighty God. And as the Mighty God, he is unlimited. And thinking of his goodness is unlimited, unbounded and unrestricted. He works according to his ways, according to his will. And therefore, since God's name reflects his very nature, then his goodness is unlimited. There's no restrictions to the goodness of God. His goodness flows as a river. His goodness is as himself. He is good, good, and good again. But notice also, God's goodness is unchanging. The name Lord or Jehovah also means that God is unchanging, or we may use the word immutable, which we looked at in greater detail. And since God, his name reflects his nature, then his goodness is unchanging. He keepeth covenant. He will never break his promises. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The goodness of God will never change. God will do good because God is good. God's goodness extends to every one of his attributes. God is eternally good. God is infinitely good. God is unchangeably good in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, and truth. And so that ought to thrill our heart, child of God. God is good to you. God blesses his people. Again, Charles Spurgeon said this: we must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be questioned, it is absolutely certain that Jehovah is good. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 31, verse 19, how great is thy goodness. And we can say that, child of God, every day. How great is thy goodness. We can say it in prayer tonight. We can say it when we go home. We can tell other people, how great is thy goodness. How great is the goodness of God to me. He's blessed me today. He's provided for me today. He's protected me today. Again, in our own family devotions, what we do each night in prayer, we thank God for his goodness. We thank God in prayer as a family for protecting us throughout the day. Some have gone to work, some have gone to school and different locations travelling around. God has brought us back safely. And so in prayer we can say, how great is thy goodness. God has been good. God has been good to us. God has spurred you another day. God has given you another time on this earth to praise his name. God has been good. And so the essence of God's goodness rests in who he is. He is good. Therefore, all he will do is good. But notice, secondly, the evidence of God's goodness. Exodus 33, in our reading, verse 19, God says to Moses in answer to prayer, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. In other words, God's goodness will be revealed. God's goodness will be seen in his creation. Again, Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. As we consider the evidence of God's goodness, before we think of God's goodness specifically, let me give some evidence of God's goodness generally or universally. And I'll just give you simple points and Bible references. Notice, as we think of God's goodness generally or universally, God's goodness is evidenced generally in supplying for his creation. God does good toward all his creation in the sense of his providence. He supplies for his own creation. He created this world. He supplies for this world. This world is held together by him. On him all things consist. Again, Psalm 33, verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Also, God's goodness is seen in the general sense, in creation, in taking care of the animals, mankind, or plants. Again, Psalm 36, verse 6, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Psalm 145, verse 16, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God's goodness is seen in supplying for plants. Again, Matthew 6, verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 30, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so as we're thinking generally of God supplying for his creation, then he supplies for the plants. He clothes the grass, the dew that falls upon the ground. Again, you think of then God's goodness in supplying for the animals. Again, Psalm 104, verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. Psalm 147, verse 9. He giveth to the beast his food and the young ravens which cry. Matthew 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. You think of God's goodness to supply to all of mankind what is known as common grace, supplying the need of the saved and the unsaved. Again, common grace is not saving grace. Rather, it's God's goodness universally displayed, universally evidenced, both in the lives of the saved and the unsaved, and that reflects in God's goodness generally. Again, Matthew 5, verse 45. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's common grace. That's God's goodness to mankind. Again, Acts 14, verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You think as well of Genesis 8, verse 22, a verse that's often quoted and preached, especially when it comes to harvest season. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So God supplies. Again, Psalm 65, verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And so God's goodness extends to all his creation, to mankind generally, to looking after this world, the birds, the animals, the plants, and all these different things. That's God's goodness evidenced generally in this world. That's why we can say, as we think of this world, as we think of God's creation, God is good. But as we think then more of God's goodness, more specific, we want to think then of God's goodness in the salvation of sinners. Because God, in showing himself or his goodness to pass before Moses, that is seen in God's mercy. Again, Exodus 33, verse 19, when God shows himself to Moses, when he says, my goodness will pass before you, in doing that, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So God will be good in salvation. Adam, as you remember, was created good. Adam was not sinful when God created Adam. However, having fallen into sin, Adam, he lost that goodness and spiritual matters toward God. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. And so having fallen and sinned in Adam, all mankind by nature are described by the Lord as none that doeth good. No, not one. That is in spiritual matters. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we cannot do that which is spiritual good. We are unable to do so because of our sin. We may think we're pleasing God, but really we're elevating self. God's goodness to man is seen in his mercy towards sinful man, and God will save sinners. You see, God did not have to show mercy or his goodness to any man, for all are guilty before God, and all are deserving the wages of sin, which is death. However, God, in his sovereign grace, has chosen to extend his goodness, to show mercy upon whom he will show mercy, to extend his goodness to fallen sinners, and have mercy upon whom he will. God, in his sovereignty, is graciously and mercifully good to some, and then the rest of mankind he leaves to the consequences of their own sinful ways. But as we look at man in his unworthy, guilty state, we are amazed that God is good to any of us. And that's the point tonight. We are amazed that God has been good to us, that God has had mercy upon us, that God has had compassion upon us. We don't deserve any of God's goodness. And yet, he has been good. In his sovereignty, he could have left all to perish, but he didn't. Rather, before the foundation of the world, he has chosen in goodness and grace and love to save a people, a multitude of sinners that no man can number. And therefore, we rejoice in the goodness of God. Paul asks in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. God in goodness is slow to anger. Otherwise, he would have sent us all straight to judgment. And therefore, that's why Paul continued, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. We are saved tonight because of the goodness of God. His goodness has led us to repentance. Again, Psalm 28, verse 5. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He will teach sinners that good way, that way of everlasting life. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 107, verse 8. O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so here we think of God's goodness tonight. The essence of God's goodness. God's goodness rests in who he is. He is good. And therefore all he will do is good. And then the evidence of God's goodness. It's seen generally, universally in creation, how he supplies for creation. This world that he has created, he supplies for the just and the unjust. He is good in that general sense. But also in that specific sense, he's good in that he saves sinners. That he has compassion upon whom he will have compassion, and mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And it is his goodness that leads us to repentance. Notice finally, then, the expression of God's goodness. Verses 20 and 22. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by. God's goodness is seen and expressed by the fact he deals with men through a mediator, one to stand between him and men, as the only way sinners will ever find acceptance with him and enjoy his presence. No sinner can stand in the presence of God without Christ, without a mediator. Otherwise, they will be consumed. As we've learned, the justice of God must punish sin. His holiness demands that sin be punished. But the goodness of God provides a refuge for the sinner to enter the presence of God. God told Moses there was a place by him, a rock on which he could stand and find shelter. Why? Because had God just shown Moses his glory, he would have been consumed. Then therefore God will only deal with sinners by way of a mediator. God's holiness and God's glory. Moses found shelter in the rock, which was God's goodness, providing a refuge. And that leads us straight then to the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture of the rock, where Moses, as God shows his glory, as God in goodness comes by, he tells Moses, there's a rock, hide. Why? Because as God passes by, sinners find refuge in Jesus Christ. The rock signifies the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the Bible we learn he is the rock of our salvation. There's safety, protection in him. Again, whenever Paul wrote about Israel's journeys, their wilderness, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul said they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. And if you have a margin in your Bible, that word followed them, that spiritual rock that followed them, reads, that went before them. So even in the wilderness journey, the Lord went before them. The rock in view is Christ. And what lessons there are. He is our stability, our strength. He is our refuge. And again, you have those pictures in that time, whenever the rock was smitten. And God told Moses, smite the rock once. And then Moses, in anger, smote it twice. And he was chastised. Why? Because Christ only will die one time. God told Moses in Exodus 17, verse 6, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it, that the people may drink. Smite the rock once, and the blessings will come. But Moses, as we said, in rebellion and anger, smote the rock twice. And he was chastised, and his chastisement was, he would not enter into Canaan. God, in his goodness, meets the needs of the people through the smiting of the rock. God in his goodness meets the needs of sinners through the smiting of Christ, the rock of our salvation. The goodness of God causes sinners to hide in him and be covered by Christ, safe from the wrath of God. You see, all who are uncovered are exposed and will experience the wrath of God. But all those who are covered, all those who hide in the rock Christ, when the Lord passes by, he will pass over them. They will be safe and secure. And therefore the expression of God's goodness is seen in the provision for Moses. When I show you my goodness, I will show you my glory. But Moses, my glory will consume you. Therefore there's a rock. Hide in the rock. And I will pass by. You see, it is the goodness of God that pardons sinners in Christ. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to pardon. Then that leads to sanctification. In Psalm 34, verse 10. For they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then he protects his people in goodness. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust
in him.
And so as we think tonight, summarizing the goodness of God, we learn our God is good. And that is seen in his essence. And that is seen by his evidence. And that is seen by his expression. He is good. And I trust that we will rejoice in the goodness of God, that we will be thankful for his goodness toward us. And even in prayer, that we will lift up the goodness of our God, for how good is the God we adore. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.